I return to Camp Half-Blood, listeners.
After halting production for a while due to the activity in America right now and the fight for racial justice, we have decided to return to our release schedule.
But this fight is not over, and we believe this is still a time to keep focusing on that fight and amplifying Black voices. We support Black Lives Matter, and we urge you to check out the links in the episode description for places to donate and petitions to sign.
And please check out these podcasts by Black creators.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameta, two fantastic Black female comedians. Sibling Rivalry with Drag Race's winners Monet Exchange and Bob the Drag Queen.
And Hashtag Wizard Team by Black Girls Create, a deep dive into Harry Potter, which we think fans of this podcast might love especially.
Keep fighting, resisting, and supporting the Black community. Thank you for listening.
Now, back to our episode. The Lightning Thief, Chapter 3. Grover unexpectedly loses his pants. Confession time. I ditched Grover as soon as we got to the bus terminal. I know, it was rude, but Grover was freaking me out, looking at me like I was a dead man, muttering, "Why does this always happen?"
I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood. Join us as we journey back through a childhood favorite series.
And see what lessons we can learn as adults from these books that meant so much to us as kids.
Okay, so episode 2. Today we're talking about chapter 3, Grover Unexpectedly Loses His Pants, and chapter 4, My Mother Teaches Me Bullfighting, through this theme of surprise. Okay, so this week, Neve is going to take it off with our 30-second recap. Let's set the timer. Let me find my phone for a second.
I think I might have a good shot at this. Okay, we ready?
No, because I wasn't prepared and did not pull up the timer.
How dare you?
Okay, now I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Percy comes home. We meet Gabe. He's the worst. We also meet Sally, Percy's mom. She is wonderful. She says she's taking Percy to Montauk. Big storm at the beach. Grover is half goat. They get chased by a minotaur. Sally explodes into light, and we arrive at Camp Half-Blood.
That was insane. You have 15 seconds left. Anything you want to include?
I think that pretty much hits the main points of it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Thank you so much.
Let the timer wind down just to show how much time you didn't take.
The punch in the face.
I'm really proud of that one.
Okay, I don't think anything was left out of that. That was pretty good summary of that.
Thank you. Also, just. Like, a lot happens, but it can be summarized pretty easily into major events in these two chapters, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of minor details, but there are also a lot of major events that happen in just these two chapters.
True, it's ridiculous.
So, let's start with things that we forgot about.
I mean, I forgot about the entire beach trip, like, completely and fully, because my most recent memory of The Lightning Thief as a whole was the musical that we saw, and kind of also the movie, and I just don't remember hearing that much from Sally, but like it was a pleasant surprise. Like, I love her, like, what a woman. But I had completely forgotten that it was on the beach trip when everything kind of started, so that's kind of cool. I got a clear picture of it in my head, so it's really interesting.
I forgot, with that whole beach trip and everything that happens, that I forgot what happened to Grover during that, and it just made me so sad. Like, I forgot that he was injured when the car was blown off the road, and then he wasn't there to help Percy and his mom, and it just made me feel so bad knowing, like, how much he has already been through and, like, the feelings of failure he has about Talia, who we don't know is Talia yet, but, like, it's fine. And it just made me, I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize, I didn't remember that, like, he wasn't there to help for that too, and not for his own fault, obviously. But yeah, that just made me sad.
No, Grover has the worst luck already, like, 4 chapters in. He, like, fails to protect Percy in the first chapter, and then he, like, freaks him out, and he gets ditched, and then he gets flipped in a car And the whole scene just moaning food. I really felt that.
No, I know. Oh my God. It's so real. That poor goat boy.
Hi, just wanted to give you a warning. The following section contains discussion of abusive relationships. And if that's something that bothers you, just skip ahead. The times will be marked in the bio below if you want to skip that and go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to say, I didn't forget how much I love Sally, but like, I forgot how good Sally is, you know?
Me too. Yep.
She's just such a good character, and she's so lovable right away. And she's such a tragic figure.
Yeah.
Like, automatically. And I forgot how much of a douchebag Gabe is. Like, I knew, but like, he's legit abusive.
Uh-huh.
I knew he was, like, not a good guy, but then I was like, oh, no, this man is fully just abusive, like, mentally and physically, and we're like, ooh.
Yep.
I forgot Sally worked in a candy shop, and that made me so happy.
I also just, like, forgot that
that was her occupation. Like, wow.
That description of her when we first meet her, and Percy's like, oh, she's in her red, white, and blue candy shop outfit, and she smells like chocolate and licorice. And I was like, oh my God, that's such a, like, sweet description, and it creates such a good picture of who she is off the bat.
Yeah, it made me so happy. I wish she was real. Like, I want to give her a hug.
No. Oh, and when she brings home free samples for him from the candy shop. Also, it said free samples in quotation marks. So I was like, wait, is Sally, like, stealing from work to bring candy for Percy? And that really was touching for me. And just, like, setting up how not well off they have it.
Yeah.
I also forgot the blue food story. Like, I obviously remember
the blue food.
It's, like, a very pivotal part of the story, but, like, I just forgot why, and it's, like, so cool.
Yeah, me too.
Literally just because Gabe was, like, there's no such thing as blue food, and they were, like, well.
I have so much respect for doing something out of spite and going that hard out of spite.
No, me too. And the thing was, like, it made Sally, like, obviously she's super gentle and kind and selfless, but, like, that kind of stuff kind of makes her more, like, empowered. And, like, that just made me very happy. I was like, she has it all.
Yeah. I mean, we find out later why she's in this abusive relationship.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see the, like, little ways that she fought against it, while still staying in the relationship. And it's really confusing. Like, we're like, oh, why is she in this relationship that sucks? And I guess looking back at it now, being more aware of, like, how abusive relationships can be. I feel like as a kid, you're like, oh, why is she with someone who's, like, that mean and awful to them? But now just knowing more about how hard it is to get out of an abusive relationship, and I think the way that this book handles it is really touching, and really, I think it helps you understand it at a young age, even if you don't really know what it means yet. I forgot that Hades was the one, like, hunting him. Like, obviously that's, like, a plot point, is that he's like, we find out later that the whole book ends up his trip to the underworld. But I forgot in that he wasn't just pursuing Hades. Hades was pursuing him when Grover's like, oh, Hades is sending his monsters. I forgot about that plot point. I also forgot that Sally couldn't cross the property line. Like, that's why she dies, is because she can't enter Camp Half-Blood.
Oh, that's one of the things that I remembered. I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
Like, I knew that she died, like, obviously. But I forgot the exact details of why. Because it's been so long. Wow.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
So, moments of surprise. Where did we see surprise in these chapters?
Oh my god, when Grover burst in the door, like, of the beach house and was like, hi, like, get in the car! Like, I was like, oh my god, like, birthday party, but sad. Like, it was just not...
I was frankly impressed, like, how did Grover know, like, where to go? Like, maybe Sally at one point, like, he said that they never met, that, like, Sally just knew who he was and, like, why he was with Percy. So, like, did she, like, shoot him an email once? Like, if you can't find us, we're probably at this weird little beach house in Montauk. Like,
also, how did he get there? Did he walk? Did he
run? Walk. Like, probably ran on his little goat legs. Like, I'm dead.
Like, the science just doesn't work out. Like, how did he know that?
I mean... it's mythology and magic. Like, we don't have to know. But it was still like, wow, this man must have walked really far. I'm sure he probably took public transportation some of the way from New York City to Montauk.
Yeah.
Oh my god, really quickly, I promise I have more important and, like, meaningful points about surprise than this one. But when Percy was describing the backstory of why they go to this little beach house, and he says, like, my mom met my dad here. And I have written in my notes, something tells me the most powerful beings in the universe just wouldn't like Montauk. I was just frankly surprised that, like, a god would be like Montauk.
I know there are so many nicer beaches in the universe. Long Island is not where I would go. I was an all-powerful god who could go to any beach in the universe.
Montauk?
I'm definitely not going to anywhere in the Atlantic Ocean. Let's be real.
I've been to Montauk. It's all right. No offense to Montauk. I just, like, didn't think.
That's true.
Other places we saw surprise. I mean, if we're on the topic of Montauk, the whole trip is a surprise to Percy.
Yeah, I said that too.
True.
Oh, one little detail I like. It was in the car while they're driving. The Minotaur has not caught up to them yet. Percy's just talking about how, like, thinking about the confirmation that everything he saw was real.
Mm-hmm.
Since everyone's been denying it for so long to him. And there's one quote where he says, my limbs went numb from delayed shock. And just that idea of something being surprising after the fact, I feel like that happens a lot and it's not really, like, noticed or, like, pointed out that, like, there can be surprise of something that happened a really long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, and then right after that moment, there's a surprise, an explosion.
Yeah.
Like, when surprise! The car just...
Your car explodes.
And the surprise that Sally knows all of this stuff, and...
Yeah.
Also,
the surprise that the guy with the blanket on his head is a Minotaur.
Yeah. All of this just got me thinking, like, in the beginning of the chapter... I didn't see a surprise anywhere, and then slowly it built up, and then it was like surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise, and it just had me thinking about how surprises are never individualistic. Like, surprises come in a lot of layers.
Because
like, even in a surprise party, it's surprise, it's a party, then surprise, there are people in my house, surprise, I didn't know anything was going on. Like, it's never one thing.
No, exactly.
Or, like, surprise, you've been cheated on. It's not just surprise, you've been cheated on. It's surprise, your partner doesn't love you. surprise, there's been lies. Like, it's just, I mean, and then when we see it in these chapters, it's not only, oh, surprise, everything you thought about life was wrong. It's surprise, your dad might not be who you thought it was. Surprise, they're a monster. Surprise, your best friend is a goat. Surprise, you're about to die. Surprise, your mom dies. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I have a note, like, about how Grover deals with this. And I just, like, noticed, like, it's been, Grover doesn't seem to realize that, like, this is a lot for Percy to deal with. There was one moment on page 46 that Percy's like, who's chasing us? And why is this happening? Because this is a lot. He's 12. Like, this is, it's a lot to deal with. And Grover responds with, nobody much, just the Lord of the Dead and a few of his bloodthirstiest minions. And I wrote in my notes, like, Grover, why would you say that? It's also just how different people deal with surprise. Like, there's different ways of dealing with something that's shocking to you. I don't really know if Grover in that moment was the best way to deal with that.
Yeah, that just makes me think about how not, like, we sometimes think of surprise as this good thing, like in a surprise gift or in a surprise party, things like that, but not everyone likes surprises.
True.
Like, some people just want to expect what's coming and know it and be prepared, and then some people like the spontaneity. Mm-hmm. And clearly Grover doesn't care.
Oh, Percy doesn't tell his mom about all of the stuff that he saw at school, and then surprises her with the information when they, like, when Grover shows up and is yelling and everything's chaotic. And it could have stopped this whole thing. Like, I feel like if Sally knew what Percy had seen at school, like all the details of it, she would not have done that spontaneous trip, taking him away from Gabe, who protects him in a weird way. Like, I just don't think a lot of it would have happened if he just hadn't kept that to himself, you know?
So now is time to share our favorite Percy sass moments.
Ava just said, I have a list.
No, I'm so ready. One of my favorite, oh my God. As a performing arts major, this one hit me in the face. Okay. On page 35, when he's talking about, this is kind of his internal monologue, when Gabe is talking about, like, I guess you guys can go to the beach. And Gabe is like, and maybe if the kid apologizes for interrupting my poker game, Percy goes, maybe if I kick you in your soft spot, I thought, and make you sing soprano for a week.
Yeah, I wrote that one down too.
It was like, I sing soprano.
Ava said, I'm a soprano.
I'm injured Gabe Ugliano. Like, conspiracy theory confirmed. No, oh my God, it was so funny. I was like, that is a witty little line for a 12-year-old. I was very impressed. I, like, folded over the page because I, like, didn't have a, like, pen, but I was like, I need to remember this one.
I also wrote that one down, but another thing I marked, it's not very long or detailed, but on page 51, it's when they're getting attacked by the Minotaur. Percy says, it's narrating, but not a scratch, I remembered Gabe saying. And the moment is just Percy saying, oops. Mm-hmm. Not a scratch, I remembered Gabe saying, oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
It was
subtle,
just
wonderful, to the point.
Yeah. It made me laugh out loud while reading. That was so funny to me.
Yeah. I have one from pages 44 and 45. Percy says, what are you exactly, to Grover? He says, that doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter from the waist down, my best friend is a donkey. And then a little bit more, like Grover makes a goat noise. He says, goat, he cried. What? I'm a goat from the waist down. You just said it didn't matter. Just thought that was funny.
true.
Yeah.
Also, I love the, like, descriptive nature of, like, his identifying Grover as, like, definitely a goat. Like, like on 44, like, middle of 44, he's like, ah, yes, the smell of a wet barnyard animal. Like, oh, my God. Like, that's your best friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the description is quite, quite intense. The imagery, good job.
There is some great imagery in this book.
True.
There is.
Yeah.
Okay, so for our final segment before we leave, every episode we want to take a moment to give an offering for a character in these chapters that we feel like needs it.
Okay, my offering is for Percy. This is insane, and he is 12. The ages of the characters just like strike me every chapter, because this is some insane stuff. And his mom seems to be one of the only people he like truly cares about, and like cares about him, and like one of the only people that he really feels like a true connection and like love with. And to watch her get choked and then burst into blinding light is terrifying. And also he's 12. It's just so much. And I know he's the main character of the series, so like obviously he's gonna go through some intense and rough things, but like it's just still really sad to watch, and I feel for him. That's all.
Yeah, I agree with that. So my offering is for Grover, and it's a similar, you know, type beat. Because he just, I know we touched on it earlier, but the poor man goat is so unlucky in everything he does. It's so sad. Like, I have no doubt that his ability is wonderful, that he's like a wonderful guardian. But oh my God, like he's really stumbled into something with, you know, Percy escaping, probably having to run on cloven hooves through the rain to find this boy, then to get concussed and like knocked completely out, only to mutter food like over and over, like he didn't know what was happening. I just wish that he did not have to constantly be under these chaotic circumstances when we all know he's capable. It's just, it's a bummer. He deserves better.
My final offering today is for Sally. Sally is such a great woman, and she's putting up with an abusive relationship for the sake of her son. And I think that's just really heroic of her. And it's really sad. And I just wish the best for her. And she kind of dies in fourth chapter here. But she's such a good mother, and she really only has the best interest of Percy at heart. And I want to thank her for that. And also give an offering for all mothers who want to risk everything for their children.
Brayden, what the hell? That was so sweet.
It was.
Okay, so that's it for this episode. Tune in next week.
And we will be covering chapters 5 and 6. I play Pinnacle with a horse, and I become Supreme Lord of the Bathroom, respectively. And we will be focusing on a theme of change.
Make sure to follow us on social media and leave a rate and review for this podcast. And we will see you next week. Thanks.
Bye. He does.
Wait, Brayden, before you go, hold on 1 second. This will not take long. Mom! Please stop yelling! I've been texting you for a little while. We are recording something.